And start. What do you know about the coronavirus?
What do we know about it? Well, we know what we watch on TV. We're right now, because we're home, and your grandmother watches probably, well, I would say from the time she gets up until the time she goes to bed, probably 80-90% of that time is watching TV. So
right,
it's on most of the day. So every update from the governor of Florida to the president of the United States, we watch all those updates. And then there's a show that, matter of fact, we just got through watching it before, is an hour show on, you know, with all of the things that are going on with the coronavirus.
Yeah.
So I think we're pretty much up to date on it. And we know that things have changed, because this is a virus that has never been on the face of this earth before. So when everybody started with it, there was one line of thought. And over the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's changed literally almost weekly for sure, but almost sometimes daily.
Yeah, definitely. What's your impression of, like, the news and the news cycle? Do you think it's, like, over-sensationalized, or do you think that the virus is sort of given the respect it deserves?
I honestly believe that when it started, there was a lot of sensationalism. And I think, for the most part, a lot of the media blew it out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
And in retrospect, maybe they were right, but in the beginning, I don't think we knew what the end result was going to be. So they were just sort of playing it up. I mean, that's all we heard of, is virus, 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 virus.
Yeah.
There was a lot of second guessing. And then I think a lot of the media used it as a political tool. And now they're using the negative ads against the president for political favors. And they're taking the words of the leaders who really didn't know what was going to happen as, you know, look, they did this wrong, they did that wrong, they did right wrong. It's a lot of finger pointing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think any intelligent human being put in the same position as the leaders of this country would have done somewhat similar things. I mean, there are a lot of mistakes, but there were a lot of good things that were done.
Mm-hmm. And
so I think for the most part, what I feel is a lot of miscommunication came out of China, because I think they kept it to themselves far too long. I think they thought they could put it under wraps and the rest of the world really wasn't going to suffer from it, so they just let it, they were mute on the reporting of it. And I think that's really what screwed a lot of this up.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion.
And have you noticed, like, have you been following different networks to see, like, what different ones are saying, or are you sort of focusing on one network in particular?
For the most part, we watch Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
And there's enough of it just on that channel. And we would have to go, well, we haven't. As quickly answer your question, no, we haven't. We pretty much stayed on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a more conservative channel. But there are some programs even on Fox that are quite liberal, like, you know, TMZ and a few other ones. And there is a lot of negativity, I think, from quote-unquote the other side.
Mm-hmm. And as someone who lives in Florida still, because obviously I'm here in Ohio, and Governor DeWine of Ohio, like, acted really quickly and shut things down really fast. And now, as of today, Florida's just, I believe, received the order, this shelter-at-home order. How do you feel about the response in Florida so far?
the governor chose to do it on a county by county directive, whatever the county wanted to do. And I think for the most part, that probably was a mistake, because we have counties that still have the beach open. We have counties that still allow, you know, somewhat too much gathering of crowds. And I think it should have probably been more of a unilateral directive. Although his view was, well, if you got a county that only has 3 cases and a county that has 300, you really can't put the same rules on each, on both counties. But in reality, you should have done that probably, because that's how it basically is being spread, by a group of people getting too close together, like either on the beach or in a concert or, you know, whatever, in a grocery store. And I think that may have been what spread it. So, and in our case, Grant, I think our state is kind of unusual, because it is a state that all the spring breakers come down to.
Right.
All the northern snowbirds come down to, and a lot of flights go into it for amusement parks, like, you know, SeaWorld and Disney World and some of the other ones in Orlando. So we get a tremendous amount of foreign traffic, spring breakers, and also the snowbirds. So
yeah, I think it's,
I think we've got an unusual state. And also, see, that's what happened in Miami. That's a lot of flights go into Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And the big beaches down there, the spring breakers would come down, and that's what spring breakers want to do. They want to go to the beach and they want to party. And I think for the most part, that's really what set off, because Florida is a state that either the county has a lot or they don't have many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting you point that out too, because the timing of the virus is really like inconvenient for Florida specifically, because of the fact that as soon as it hit, it was pretty much spring break for most of America. And you had all those news stories about coronavirus parties, and I think a couple of those were in Florida, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And see, when you're 18, 20, 22 years old, and I know it because I felt the same way, you feel you're almost invincible. You say, oh, this isn't going to affect me, and, you know, you have a different mindset. And these... spring break is a very important break. I mean, good night. I did it when I was going to school. So
mm-hmm.
That's been 50 years ago. So people have come down to Florida. That's just the way it is. And I think all of the plans were made before the virus was even really thought about. So I don't know. I just think that how are you going to stop the migration of the snowbirds or the spring breakers or people come to Disney World all in a week? It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Just too many plans and too many people just doing it. So
how are you preparing, or like how have you prepared for this entire thing, especially now that the shelter in place order finally came out?
Well, for the most part, When we go to the store and we stock the pantry, we do it like big time once a week or once every 2 weeks. So we were probably more prepared because of that just way of living. We'd only go to the store 2 or 3 times a week just to get fresh vegetables and that. So we always had a big supply of soups and I can make my own bread if I have to. We've got the river to fish out of. But we'd buy things that we could get 2 or 3 meals out of, like half a ham or a whole chicken, and then make soup out of it. So our pantry was well stocked. We had plenty of pastas and plenty of sauces, and we had a lot of paper goods like paper towels and napkins and even toilet paper. We probably had, I would say, almost probably 25 or 30 rolls of toilet paper when this hit mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago. So we weren't in a panic about anything we had. We've got all the staples, and, you know, we don't really, we buy some prepared meals, but most of the meals are, you know, we do them from scratch. So, and we're fairly creative with our meals. I mean, it's not just, you know, a piece of chicken and a bologna sandwich.
Right.
A vegetable. So I think we were very well prepared, not because we prepared for this, just the way we were living. So mm-hmm. we weren't cut short. A lot of people, I think, go out to dinner, rely a lot on takeout or pizza places or fast foods, and we were never in that position because we never did that. We only eat out maybe once or twice at the most a month. So I think we were well prepared. Don't you, Pat?
Yeah.
And we still are. And right now we've got, and because of the situation we're in, we've got somebody that comes to the house once every 2 weeks to clean the house thoroughly. And then we have somebody that comes twice a week just to help us out with the laundry and ironing and just basic spot cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And who also has gone out to the grocery store and bought a week's supply of groceries. Who just, because she's been here for 2 years, we can just show her, look, I want two cans of this, and this is what it looks like, and I want this particular brand of flour, and I want some sugar in it, and this is the brand that we like. So she could easily go to the store and do that for us. The biggest problem I think we have is when we need a prescription. When you mm-hmm. reach the age of 50, you start using a lot of prescribed drugs by your doctor. And the hardest thing to do is to really get those drugs. So that's the biggest challenge.
Right.
How do I go get my prescriptions without being infected by somebody else?
Have you taken any precautions specifically for that? Like, have you gotten, like, masks or anything like some people are wearing?
Being that the girl that comes here twice every week, she's a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And also from her and the TV, we were told a long time ago that wearing a mask does not prevent you from getting the virus. It prevents other people from getting it from you.
Mm.
So just to wear a mask is not really going to stop you from getting the virus, because most of it is done, from what I understand, is by contact, touching a surface or touching a piece of fruit that somebody has handled at the grocery store or the shopping cart handle, or maybe a paper bag that was loaded up with groceries. So it was told to us, I think, and still is, that a mask is not going to help somebody from getting it. It's going to prevent somebody from getting it from you.
Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to ask about, like, your specific, like, the dock and all the plants that you grow outside. Has that, like, right. helped you yet? Like, have you gone to get crab traps and see if you've gotten any crabs? And do you plan, or do you think that'll be, like, a, you know, a pretty useful thing to have on your side considering this whole quarantine?
Yeah, the problem with growing vegetables and things in the garden, it's seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
So I grow all of my vegetables from seed. So my tomatoes are probably 2 feet tall, but they're just starting to bloom, and they have a few small tomatoes on them. So because it's seasonal, that really isn't going to help us. But the river is actually a great source of food.
Mm-hmm.
We have got a lot of fish and crabs and stuff out there that we could easily live on. I mean, you can live on fish for the rest of your life if you have to. So we have a source of food out there that is available, and we can use it if we need to. We haven't had to, and we don't need to at the moment, but it's certainly there.
Right. How about your neighbors? Have you noticed or have you spoken to any of them? Like, have they started, like, integrating more fish and crabs or anything into their diets that you know of?
Not really in this neighborhood, Grant. The neighbor across the street, who we always keep his mail for them when they're gone, went to, of all places, India through, I think they flew into France, and then went through Italy, and then went to India. And they just came back, I think about 10 days ago. And we email each other even in their overseas. And I told them, I said, we are not going to be talking to you when you return. We're going to sort of put you at out of harm's way, and we don't want to see you. And we did it nicely. I mean, you know, said. And I said, because of the situation that we're in, I mean, if you look at tick off all of the little things that you can have wrong with you that are negative as far as catching the virus, we've got every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot take the chance of being face to face with our neighbors yet, and we're not going to. And they understand. I mean, they'd have to be out of touch completely if they didn't understand. And they said, you're right, and we will do that. We'll self-quarantine until we know that we don't have the virus. So I don't know if I've strayed off of the question you asked. But
no, not at all.
We talked to our neighbors. We talked to all of our neighbors. I mean, I think this is a fairly good neighborhood. We do things for each other. Well, I've got one neighbor that has three kids, and they're over there homeschooling, and they take them outside, and they run around the house or do whatever they can to burn off some energy, because their kids are like 1, 5, and 7 or 8, so they're young.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody seems to be doing well. They have asked us, is there anything we can do for you? Can we order food or whatever? And we do also have the ability to buy even dog food from the mail orders and Amazon and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're pretty well set. I don't think we're going to starve to death. As I say, the only thing is medication. If I had known this was coming, and, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, I would have changed all my prescriptions to a place that delivered.
Right.
But in order to get, I bet you between Pat and myself, we probably have maybe 15 different prescriptions. Well, they all are refillable at different times. So, you know, who would have known? I think from now on, once this is over, I'm going to change it so that all the prescriptions are refillable at the same date, and also go to one that will deliver to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's important. I think this is not the last of this virus. Once this thing peaks out and it starts to turn around where there's a bell curve, and it's about, 4 to 6 weeks out, and it's going to get better. But when it does, they say it may come back in the fall.
Really?
Not as strong, but may come back in the fall. So I think we're going to prepare for something like this happening again. I think most of the country is.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to change everybody's outlook.
Yeah, so then how do you think it'll change society? Like, what do you think is going to change, like, in as broad as you want to go? And what do you think is going to stay the same?
Well, the biggest thing, and it's just because we watch it every day, is the television. People, the TV's programs are now our main Fox 13 for out of Tampa is almost entirely broadcast from the people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
The schools are going viral. There isn't one school in the state of Florida, and I don't know about the rest of the United States, that is still going to a brick-and-mortar school. They're all virtual. People are home schooling. The restaurants, it's only delivered or takeout. I think the stores are going to clean their aisles and food and probably even the way meat is butchered. Who knows? But they're going to do a lot more serious cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to prepare, like I said before, by going to more places that will deliver to you rather than you going to a brick-and-mortar store. I just think it is going to be a world of difference.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you think is, like, because you mentioned earlier how you talk to, like, everyone in your neighborhood. Has this pandemic, like, gotten in the way of that at all? Like, any sort of sense of community?
Yeah, you don't go and put your elbows on the fence between the houses and talk within 2 feet of each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's more of talking by phone or emailing or just shouting 20, 30 feet away.
We're avoiding a lot of close contact with anybody.
We used to, a long mm-hmm. time ago, we used to have block parties and going over. Just a couple of years ago, we used to go over to the neighbors across the street for supper, and there was more socializing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the socializing is, you know, at a distance. Will that change? Yeah, I think we'll go back to it. I don't think this is going to stop us from doing that. We're still going to go over and borrow a cup of sugar or give them a bag of tomatoes that we've grown, or, you know, smoke a fish and give them smoked fish, or, yeah, it'll go back.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't life-changing, but I think we're going to prepare better.
Right. How have your, like, church habits changed since, especially now? I don't know how it was before. I know that in Ohio, where I am, all gatherings of a certain size were completely prohibited.
Yep.
I'm not sure, is that how it's been in Florida, too?
And we've got one pastor that is up in Tampa who had 200 or 300 parishioners at his church last Sunday.
Really?
He was arrested, taken to jail,
wow.
and out on bond. Now, he's saying that going to church is an essential business, and he wants to fight this all the way. But the local police sheriff said, and if he does this again, he's going to jail for up to 90 days, and he will be arrested for endangering the public, I think it was.
Mm.
So there are some people that are trying to defy it, and I honestly think that anybody meeting with over, I think it's 5 now.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be 50, and then it went down to 10, and I think it's 5, is breaking the law.
Right.
So, our church is streamlining this on the internet, which they've been doing for 4 or 5 years already. So it's nothing new, but it'll be used more.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. So, what's your take on, do you think that it's the right call to keep small groups as, you know, contained as possible?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
I mean, this is what's going to either stop it or just continue to flare up, because there's stupid people all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And the stupid ones are going to be stupid, and you just can't cure that. So I think the government's going to have to step in and do the best job they can and try to keep people segregated and try to, you know, all the stores I've been to now, there's a little line on the floor with tape, you know, do not cross this line until the one before you has moved forward.
Mm-hmm.
The cashiers have got plexiglass shields now. I just went to the hardware store 4 or 5 days ago, and there's shields there. I think that's all good. We all have to do just our part. And if you're not stupid, you'll know that the thing to do is just to stay your 6 feet away from each
right.
other. If you just do that, if everybody did that, this thing may have been on its way out already.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that certain group of people who have a mentality that I'm not going to get sick, and or I don't care if I get sick. They've had people, there was a driver for, I think it was Amazon, but I'm not sure, it could have been FedEx, but he spit on the package when he delivered it.
Mm.
I mean, the mentality of some of these people is just incredible.
Yeah.
So you can't cure stupidity.
Especially in light of the fact that a lot of people have been shown to be carriers without any symptoms whatsoever.
Yeah.
It is concerning. So when comparing like this, because I know in my life I've lived through a couple of epidemic scares, like recently we had SARS. Ebola and SARS and H1N1.
Right.
And this one doesn't really compare whatsoever to those in my view. What do you think about the difference between this and like other epidemics that you've lived through?
I'm not sure of this, but I rather like the concept that this started in a country who has a very poor section of their society. And because they're poor, they eat just about everything imaginable. And I think this was, somebody said, and it sounds probably true, that they either ate an infected bat or an infected meat. Like, let's say a dog over there would eat something that was infected. Well, that, because they ate the dog and the dog ate something else, it started a virus that was so new in the world that it became almost impossible to stop. Because, China looked at who knows how long that was there. That could have been there a year. We don't know. The communist government, it can squash a news article in a paper in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just never get out of the country. So I just think something, I think it was something that we've never seen before, Grant. I mean, there have been plagues in the world long before this one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Black Plague? That
right.
wiped out millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
This one may do a million people do.
Yeah, and so, like, just with the scale of it, is this even remotely close to any of the others you've experienced? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The other ones we knew were there, but we didn't think much of it. I don't know. It's like malaria. You don't worry about malaria because you're not where they had, where it's, you know, prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, HIV or whatever that is. Was it HIV?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about that.
Right. Yeah, and especially because, as we've seen, like, a ton of world leaders have gotten, they've contracted the coronavirus. And it, at least from what I've seen, it really does feel like it's something that can affect everybody. Whereas in previous, more recent outbreaks like this, that hasn't necessarily been the case.
Right.
And how about just other like major crises that you've lived through? Not just like pandemics necessarily, but anything, like any major global event that causes this much of a reaction in the news and in society.
I grant you got to remember that this country has been completely isolated.
Mm-hmm.
We've got water around two coasts and two countries on each side that we're basically friends with. We are isolated. We went to war in Vietnam and we went to the war in Iran, but there's too much area of water and land between all of those places, so we're isolated from it. We didn't know Desert Storm. That didn't mean a thing to the normal human sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that really crossed our defenses was 9/11.
Right.
And 9/11 was so isolated. It was just, you know, a city in the northeast corner of the United States, and that's as far as it went. It affected all of us, but not on a personal basis.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have to protect ourselves and stash food away and, you know, like you do with a hurricane or a tornado or something like that. It's just a small area.
Mm-hmm.
Is global. This is not something that happens very often at all. I think it's probably the first time, maybe ever,
right,
that the entire world was involved with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even World War One and World War Two, the United States wasn't it didn't come to this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It didn't even come to a lot of the countries in the world. It was just, you know, pretty much isolated.
So is this current one one of the only, like, major sort of things that feels like it affects you personally? Like others really haven't gotten that far?
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's still not over.
I mean, right.
It's far from over.
Would you compare it to sort of the way Floridians experience hurricane season? Do you think they're like comparable?
No, because it would have to go across the whole state,
mm-hmm,
to affect you. We know weeks and sometimes months in advance that something's coming.
Right.
And we can prepare for that if we're smart. But this was an invisible foe. Still is. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You don't know where it is. You don't know if the next person that you see's got it. You don't know how long it's going to last. You don't know what there is that's going to cure it. There's a lot of ifs.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a hurricane, you pretty much know where it's going to be, and if it's in your path, you're going to get it.
Right.
But you can get out of its path or have a house strong enough to withstand it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how you can compare this to anything that we've been through.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your time, and thank you for participating.
How long did that take?
that was 36 minutes.
36 minutes.
Pretty good.
Is that pretty good?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we didn't plan on talking a whole lot, but...
Yeah, no, I mean, that was more than enough. Thank you.
You got enough, all right.
Yeah, definitely.
You want it? Pat, is there anything you want to say? She says no. She's just
sitting here with
your green.
Yeah.
Well,
so
you feel pretty safe up where you are?